Tim Versalotti, I guess I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, the new first district of Massachusetts, and we're all sort of interested in how that's going. Have you polled there yet?
No, we haven't. We have not polled in the first district. So what we have to work from are right now the metric is campaign finance in terms of how folks are doing. And just to fill people in, of course, this new first district, it's Berkshire County and a chunk of Hampden County. And what we see here is Richard Neal, the congressman who has represented that area since the mid-1990s, is up against, for the Democratic nomination, Andy Nussaforo, the recorder of deeds and former state senator, and Bill Shine, an activist and writer. And the first quarter fundraising numbers filed at the end of March with the Federal Election Commission, the story, if you were to look at it just from a straight numbers total, is that, of course, Neal is the heavyweight. He has 2.4 million in the bank. Nussaforo, almost 134,000. Bill Shine, who we must point out is only taking contributions of $99 or less, had about 5,500 in the bank.
Now, I think we should point out to everybody that the incumbent from Springfield, Richie Neal, who has appeared on this very program many, many times, is from Springfield. That's important because there's a huge number of people who are used to voting for him over there.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it's a two-edged sword in Springfield because it is the population center of Western Massachusetts, but in recent elections it has also had either the lowest voter turnout rate or bottom two or three for the entire state, all 351 towns and cities.
Now, Nussaforo has said that that's his secret weapon in conversations with me, and said the fact is that Berkshire County people come out in huge numbers, but that assumes he's going to get all the votes.
It does assume that, and Neal, of course, with a newly redrawn district, certainly isn't taking that for granted. He's got a couple of advantages. John Oliver has already endorsed him.
And he said there isn't a breadth of difference between me, the most liberal member, by the way, in the Congress, probably the most liberal, and Neal, who sometimes people conceive of as sort of a little bit less progressive than some of the others.
For sure. And if you talk to hardcore progressive activists in the district, you'll hear that. They'll say that they have to push Neal over and over on some important issues. And so while that is a huge help to have that comment from Oliver, I think Neal still has to battle that perception. And Nussaforo and to a greater extent Bill Shine are happy to point that out as well, and they really are coming at him from the left.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, Tim Versalotti. I'll tell you why. Because as if there were one of instead of two of them, somebody might feel they had a better chance. But now you got this guy. He represents Springfield. He's the long-term congressman. He's been on this radio show again and again and again. As anybody who listens to it knows, he's very bright and very articulate. And then you say, okay, so what they're doing is the two other guys are basically splitting the vote. And by the way, there have been those people who have accused Nussaforo, like they've accused Neal, of being too close to some businesses. There are those who say that Nussaforo was too close to the insurance companies when he was the chair, I believe, the chair of the Insured Senate Committee.
That's been a fascinating metric or theme this spring when we talk about the campaign finance numbers. Because when the reports went in, it was pointed out Nussaforo actually outraised Neal when it comes to individual donations, almost by 2 to 1. Very small numbers. Nussaforo, 42,000 in individual donations. Neal, 21,000. Neal's big money is coming from PACs. However, when we get to the subject of PACs, there are folks who point out, well, Nussaforo is not exactly not beholden to PACs. When he served in the state Senate, he got a considerable amount of money from PACs. And so, therefore, it undercuts one of Nuciforo's potent arguments in this race. So right now, it's all about posturing. It's all about the finances and where the money's coming from and how people can spin that to their advantage. It's so early in the race, though, beyond you and I and the hardcore political junkies in the district, I'm not sure people are picking up on it.
Well, yes. And when do people make up their minds about this kind of thing?
There are folks who, and in a primary, and this primary will be September 6th, it'll be a Thursday, for a lot of complicated reasons, it'll be hardcore Democrats. And so there are some who have already, activists who've already made up their minds. But by and large, this forces the candidates into doing campaigning late in the summer when you really have to work hard to get the attention of the average voter, the undecided voter. And that's where money will come into play. So we'll be seeing activity in August, not the best time to be making your case to the electorate, but that's...
when everybody's at the Cape. Right.
Exactly.
Right. But Tim Brosolati, I guess I want to ask you this. Bill Schein, he can't lose here, can he? I mean, I would think the chances of his winning this election are rather remote, but he's going to have a tremendous name recognition coming out of this in case he ever wants to do this again, isn't he?
That's right. That's right. He'll have name recognition and he'll have a soapbox for a while. And you can't argue with that. And so if he has sights on other offices, if he was interested in heading to the State House or Senate, this is a great springboard for that. And some would argue to an extent for Andy Nuciforo, this is a way of putting himself on the map as well. It's hard to see where he goes from here if he doesn't win this nomination, but he's certainly getting name recognition outside of Berkshire County.
Well, I would argue with this with you. I think, and I like him very much, I think he's played it wrong. What happened was that he went after Olver when Olver was thinking about retiring, and he said he was going to run against Olver no matter what happened, and he was going to primary Olver, who was immensely popular in his home of, you know, Amherst and the great Barrington. People love him because he is so liberal. And so he really alienated Olver. And the result of that is that I think Olver would do anything to get Richie Neal elected over Nuciforo. So a lot of this is tactics. Christine Lavin has a song, which I love, called, a folk singer, called "What Could He Have Been Thinking?"
And I, you know, I've heard that as well from Democratic Party regulars and one member of the state Senate as well, that the timing puzzles folks who watch politics in Western Massachusetts, and it may simply have been that redistricting complicated things. There was no certainty that Olver's district would be melded with Neal's district.
Yes,
there was
but still he bit Olver in the behind. How does that help you?
Perhaps he thought he could drive Olver from the race. Had the redistricting gone another way. This has not played out well for Nuciforo in terms of being redistricted into a district with a longtime incumbent with a seat on the House Ways and Means Committee, for sure.
Well, I can tell you this much. I may not know a lot of things, but one thing I can state, and that is, that's a line from a song, forget it, which is Olver would have beaten Nuciforo under the table. I would put every political science bone in my body on that.
This time around, perhaps, but you've got an incumbent who's been around for a while, who's not getting any younger,
no,
and if
Nuciforo
wanted to build name recognition, here's a way of doing it.
Well, it's always wonderful to talk to Tim Brosolati. Boy, do I love talking to you. It's just so great. Two guys talking politics.
That's right. I enjoy it, too.
And when we come back, we'll talk about President Obama, okay?
Sure.